Good evening and welcome to Health Matters, the Mental Health Edition. I'm Dr. Shelley Visconti, licensed psychologist, counselor, and marriage and family therapist. And I'll be your host for our discussion this evening on coping strategies for the holidays and beyond. I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Todd Lebrano, counseling psychologist, and Dr. Michelle Yetman, assistant professor and clinical psychologist at LSU Health.
Thank you.
So thank you all for being here this evening to talk a little bit about coping strategies. This is a very important time to kind of refresh people's memories about some things that they can do to help deal with the stressful holidays, and then also some things that they can do throughout the year to help them manage their stress. Mm-hmm. So Todd, why don't you start out and tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and who you are?
Well, of course, as you alluded to, I'm a psychologist. I practice here in town at Gable, Vegan, Lebrano, Visconti, and Russell. That's kind of a, sounds like a legal practice.
Yeah.
I've been practicing at that office for about, 5 years now. And I do a variety of, provide a variety of services, counseling among them. I think that's enough.
Okay. And Michelle, do you mind telling us a little bit about you and what you do?
Sure. I'm at the School of Allied Health, and I'm at the Children's Center, and we serve children from ages 2 through 15 for a variety of different needs. We are an autism specialty center, but we serve children for a bunch of different needs, and anxiety is a common problem that we see even in children and young children. So anxiety, unfortunately, is something that spans the lifespan, and pertinent to today's topic, it tends to peak around the holiday season. So I do agree with you. This is a very timely and appropriate topic.
So as always, we invite you, our listeners, to phone in with your questions or comments at 1-800-552-8502. So we know that the holidays can be a time of joy and excitement and happiness and gathering together with our friends and family, but it can also be very stressful and a lot of anxiety, maybe even some depression. What are some of the triggers that might be that people might experience to lead to some of those feelings of anxiety, depression, or just feeling stressed out?
Well, there's so many, and I think we can talk about some of the triggers and also talk about some of the coping strategies. I think that's really important to touch on that. But the first one that comes to mind is expectations. You know, I was having lunch with a friend, and she said, I just want to survive the holidays or get through the holidays. And I thought, really? You know, can't we do better than that?
And they used to be enjoyable.
And they're supposed to be enjoyable.
Well, right? Exactly.
It's supposed to be, we're supposed to be, it's supposed to be a great time. And so somehow that gets lost. And what takes away from being that joyous, happy time is the stress. And part of what eats away at that, I think, is expectation, is people have very unrealistic expectation. And perfectionism is definitely the enemy of good. So everybody wants to have the Martha Stewart Christmas, but that's not possible. When you're working a full-time job, when you're a full-time parent and you've got kids and stressors, you really have to be realistic about what you can do realistically. Do you want to be the Pinterest mom or do you want to be the real-life mom is what I always say,
sure.
You know, because everything looks great in Martha Stewart catalogs or on Pinterest, but, you know, then you try to do it and you have the epic fail of the gingerbread house.
Yeah.
But if you're enjoying the process, right? So it's not about the end result. The truth is the Christmas tree is lopsided and the gifts don't get wrapped till the last minute. But so really having realistic expectations, kind of planning your time, figuring out what you can realistically do and what you can't do, and learning how to say no is really, really important. So having realistic goals, not overextending yourself, can do a lot to preventing yourself from getting really stressed out. I think that's a good place to start when you kind of, before you really get into the crunch of the holiday season.
I think that that's some good advice. I think what I hear you saying is make a plan and stick to that plan for one. Just something that I find kind of unrealistic, an unrealistic expectation that people set for themselves around these times tends to deal with the financial expectations, right? Everyone wants the new gaming system that comes out, if you're a child. And, you know, some families just can't afford to kind of keep up with the cycle rate that these things seem to be going through. And before the show, we were asking my son, what did he want for Christmas? And of course, it's, I want a Switch, which is a Nintendo, and I'm not pimping out their product or anything, or a computer. Well, good grief.
Those are major purchases.
Those are very major purchases. Yeah. And some families really struggle with that kind of desire and wanting to, you know, fulfill their child's wishes, of course, as every parent does. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to set those realistic goals, as you alluded to earlier, and, mm-hmm. and stick to those goals. And that may include setting something like a budget for finances mm-hmm. so that we're not, you know, making a New Year's resolution of, okay, now I've got to pay off all these credit card bills
right.
after the fact, you know, where the dread comes, you know, oh my goodness, after the year, now I've got all this stuff I've got to pay for. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's setting something like, okay, I'm only going to spend $500 and I've got cash now, so mm-hmm. I'm not using that card, which is so tempting and easy to do, mm-hmm. and just sticking to something like that mm-hmm. so that you're not overextended and stressed mm-hmm. and depressed about how much money you spent mm-hmm. And just all of the things that that entails.
Well, I don't know about the two of you, but just thinking back on Christmases from my childhood, what I remember, now I do remember the Barbie Dream House. I do remember that.
That is pretty awesome.
But mainly what I remember are making these really ugly cookies, mm-hmm. you know, with my family, and we just had the best time, and they weren't the most attractive of cookies, but we enjoyed doing that and decorating the tree, and no, it wasn't the most gorgeous tree in the world,
right.
but it was phenomenal, you know, when you're a child.
Right.
And I think sometimes we as parents forget that
right.
there are other things that are important.
Something
that are really going
together.
To make the memories. Yeah.
So what the research tells us is that, you know, if I were to give you $500, if you were to go buy something versus have an experience, at first you'd be equally happy, but after about 2 weeks, your happiness level would drop if you just bought a material object. But if you had an experience and did something and then had the memory of that, that would lead to long-term enjoyment. And experience gives you happiness much longer and you take with it. And so you're exactly right. It is a holiday time is an opportunity to establish traditions that can be, you know, not cost you any money at all or very little. So one of the things my kids have always loved since they were little was piling in the car with hot chocolate and drive around looking at Christmas
lights. Looking at Christmas lights.
That was, you know, and it started when they were like 2 and 3 and they'd be in their pajamas with a blanket. And, you know, I think they're probably too old to do this now, but I mean, that was their happy memory. And doing the same thing year after year, that creates tradition and memory and fondness. And that's what lays down those memory tracks and kids associate with the holidays. And you're right. So, well, the Dream House was pretty awesome. But those are the traditions that really make memories for the kids that they will take through adulthood and want to pass on to those their children. And so that's a great idea and really important for parents to remember, too.
Yeah. Because sometimes I think we feel the pressure to make sure that our kids have what everyone else has and things like that.
Well, something I wanted to talk about also is, you know, what is the meaning of the season? And for a lot of people, it's supposed to be a season of giving and gratitude. And it's an opportunity to teach your kids about that and how to do that, you know. And there's so many ways you can use this as opposed to, I mean, you know, there's always going to be the kid on the street who has the awesome new scooter or I don't even know what the toys are now, but, you know, those things. And so you can never keep up with that as a parent. You're right.
Sure.
And it's just a losing battle if you try. But it is a great opportunity to teach a lesson of gratitude. Everything from, you know, the excitement as a little kid to putting your change in the Salvation Army bucket when they're ringing the bell, and that's really fun, to, you know, the Christmas tree wish list they have where you can pick a child and donate a gift. And the whole idea is it's not just about getting stuff for yourself, but thinking of other people. And it's a great opportunity to teach gratitude to children. One tradition I love is just having a gratitude jar where you put in, you know, a piece of paper of what you're grateful for kind of every week or every so often. And then, you know, at Christmas time, you kind of look back and all the things you're grateful for as a family. So it is an opportunity to really focus on what the true meaning of the holiday is for you and your family and really instill that. and kind of intentionally instill that and not just get caught up in the hype of the purchases and all of that.
And I know many families who volunteer their time at shelters or going to the church and feeding the homeless individuals or people who can't, you know, otherwise afford a decent meal, but they give their time and they're providing examples to their family and children that this is something that should be done. Mm-hmm. I think we kind of lose sight of the meaning of this time of year, you know, and I think it's probably helped out by the stores. I think, what was it this year? I noticed at Halloween they were putting out Christmas mm-hmm. stuff, mm-hmm. which, you know, I understand that mm-hmm. stores, this is the time that they make the majority of their yearly income, but I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that we have to lose sight of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that does tend to add to the stress and pressure of trying to
Absolutely.
Kind of keep up.
Mm-hmm. We invite our listeners to phone in with your question or comment. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So it sounds like not only do we need to have realistic expectations, but we need to decide what's important to us and what's mm-hmm. important to our family and, mm-hmm. and what traditions we want to establish
mm-hmm.
and really define that and let that kind of lead our holidays rather than letting the materialism and commercialism kind of take control of the
right.
holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do we know when our goals or expectations for the holidays are unrealistic?
Well, I think it's really important to maintain your healthy habits and practice self-care during the holidays. So, you know, it's really important to maintain a healthy diet, healthy sleep schedule, all of these things, and take care of yourself and all of those habits that are really important. I mean, there's always those horrible statistics we hear. You can gain 5 to 10 pounds between Thanksgiving and New Year's and all of that kind of stuff. But there's just so much to do, and the food changes and the diet changes. The truth is, most of us, that's going to, if we disrupt our schedule too much, our sleep schedule too much, our diet schedule too much, lack of exercise, all of that has a terrible toll. And just like you said, when the credit card bill rolls in January and we're going to have some depression or regret over that, we also have depression and regret over, you know, binging and enjoying and partaking probably too much. We don't want any of those kind of regret hangovers come January, financial or health-wise, otherwise. And so, again, goes back to kind of making a plan and wanting to stick to that. So kind of having, hopefully, you've got some good health habits in place and you want to try to stick with them. Of course, you're going to go to the party. Of course, you're going to enjoy yourself, but you kind of don't want to go too far off track. You still need to maintain your healthy habits and also learn how to say no. You can't do everything, go to every party, do every gift exchange, say everything. You'll overextend yourself, you'll burn out, and you'll regret it. And so you really want to choose wisely and then do some self-care and taking out time for yourself and all of those types of things.
Well, and so many people have a problem saying no. Do y'all have any tips on how to feel more comfortable with saying no?
Well, just, you know, you're at some point, being assertive is not going to be a negative thing. You know, too many times in society these days, it's expected that you kind of go along. You know, you go along to get along. But being able to say no is healthy and stick to your plan. You know, at this time of year, there are a number of stressors. Spending money. Am I spending too much? Am I not spending enough? Am I meeting, you know, my kids' expectations, parents' expectations, relatives' expectations? I'm going to this house or that house. If I have an extended family where I've got to hop from one place to another, and forbid if we're going to see those relatives that we see one time every year that we really loathe or we don't want to be around. And that's going to be a stressor. So as Dr. Yetman said, it's going to be important to maintain the healthy habits that you already have in place. Exercise is probably the most prophylactic thing that we have available to us that probably most of us do not engage in enough of, that can help keep us more resilient to this depression or anxiety. And it gives you a way to, as I kind of put it, burn off that excess energy and the stressful chemicals that build up in your body as a result of the extra stressors that we experience throughout this season, not to mention the extra food that we eat and those extra things that we tend to do, if you know, and the traffic, I guess, is another stressor that just kind of popped into my head.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of those things. So in order, I guess keep an open mind and know that these things are going to occur is going to be helpful. And then, you know, have a plan and stick to it.
So kind of expect that it's going to take you longer to get that bread and milk that you're going to the store for. Expect that the traffic's going to be a little heavier and that you're going to stand in line a little longer, and kind of build that into your schedule. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Kind of have those expectations so that then it doesn't hit you. And
it's not going to be as stressful. They're going to be stressors, but you're going to be able to cope with something that's expected a lot better than you can with something that's unexpected.
Well, and something y'all both mentioned in a way is structure. And I think that a lot of us don't realize how important structure is until we don't have it. Mm-hmm. And then we don't really realize, you know, how do I get back into the swing of things? But really during the holidays, it's so important that we maintain that kind of structure as far as our diet and our sleeping schedules and things like that. Because when we don't have that, it just turns to chaos quickly.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of all these, moms who are about to have kids home for 2 weeks. And, you know, just like kids benefit from a regular sleep-wake cycle, and that's hard for, you know, moms all of a sudden, and they're home, they want to stay up late, all of that. Some of that's good, and some of that's fun, and that's what makes the holiday exciting. But again, when kids' routines get too off schedule, then parents' routines get off schedule, and then, you know, every parent can't wait till school starts back, you know? So it's kind of stressful on everybody. So we all tend to thrive on structure and routine. And, you know, holidays can be, obviously you let that relax some, mm-hmm. but you don't totally throw it out the window.
Yeah. We want to invite our listeners to phone in with their question or comment. The number is 1-800-552-8502. I think sometimes when the holidays are going on, we get overwhelmed, we get stressed out, but we don't even realize it until we are kind of knee deep in it. So one thing that I talk to my clients sometimes about is identifying those feelings that you're having and really, listening to them. Do y'all have any suggestions as far as how to identify the feelings, whether you're feeling stressed out because of finances or whether you're feeling mm-hmm. overwhelmed, or any suggestions?
Well, I think it's really important what you're raising is, you know, for a lot of people, they can have real feelings of depression this time of year for significant reasons. Everybody is supposed to be with family and loved ones, and anybody who's experienced a loss, this time of year is going to bring up all that grief, which maybe on a day-to-day regular basis you've been able to tamp down a little bit, but those feelings of loss and grief are going to come kind of raging back to the surface. And so for those people who are missing a significant person in their life, or even I think of divorced families where there's split custody, maybe on a regular basis throughout the year, you're fine with that. But all of a sudden, if it's Christmas morning and you don't have your children there, you know, that's just very hard to cope with. So that can be extremely hard. And for the first thing is to figure out, you know, how am I feeling? Am I able to cope with that? We always encourage people not to isolate themselves, to seek out help. You know, do you need professional help? And use the friends and family and resources that they do have. That's really, really important. And, you know, not to isolate yourself and to use the social connections that you do to cope with some of those feelings that you're having.
And sometimes people don't really notice that this is happening to them until someone brings it to their attention. So I think it's important to also realize, keep an eye on your friends. And if you notice that they're isolating, mm-hmm. if you notice that maybe they're maybe a little bit more jumpy, mm-hmm. More irritable, you know, a little bit more quick to anger or more nervous right now, or just appear to be preoccupied with something, that it's take it upon yourself to, you know, maybe ask them, you know, look, you're acting a little differently. Is there something wrong? Is there something on your mind? But the other part of this is, you know, it's going to take a little bit more awareness of yourself. You know, just depression and anxiety in general, they have physiological symptoms and sign to each disorder. So there's a body side to these mental health problems. For example, with anxiety, there is a system in you called the fight or flight response that typically activates when you're nervous or anxious, and it prepares you to either fight or run away, right? So there's that particular side, which you may have problems relaxing. You may notice that you're kind of, I guess for lack of a better way of describing it, amped up.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're depressed, you're going to have a lower energy level. You're not going to want to do stuff. You're going to want to stay in bed for a longer period of time, or, you know, just not want to go and spend time socializing with friends like you used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And being more aware of your own habits, own kind of limitations, and the way you react to things is important in that as well.
We have a listener question. So Roy from Shreveport would like to know if either of y'all have any tips on dealing with family members that perhaps aren't easy to get along with. Maybe it could be an in-law, especially if that person that could be an in-law is staying in your home for a period of time during the holidays. Any suggestions
Ouch.
For this ticking time bomb?
This is a timely question. You know, with politics, I think I read that this year's Thanksgiving, people were very concerned about because of, you know, political discussions, and they were recommending to avoid politics. But
polite company, right?
Polite company. This is all part of the holiday season, right? So there's the ideal Norman Rockwell painting, and then there's the reality, which is everybody has a crazy family, right?
Yeah.
So this is, you know, you have to set aside differences for the holidays. Probably not to discuss hot topics, but try to find common ground and recognize that this too shall pass, and all house guests leave.
At some point.
At some point. What's the Japanese proverb? House guests, like fish, start to stink after 3 days? Is that?
Oh, I've never heard that one,
yeah.
But I can believe it, you know?
So, but I think that people oftentimes don't change. It might be unrealistic I shouldn't say people don't change. As therapists, we should not say people don't change.
Right.
But I don't think if you're, 72-year-old uncle who's always, tormented and teased you is coming to visit, that you can maybe expect him not to torment and tease you, but just recognize, that people are people. Try to find what you have in common or what you can enjoy about this person, and that the holiday will end.
The easy answer is avoid those topics that you know are going to be turn into an argument.
Mm-hmm.
You don't engage in those things. And if someone tries to broach those topics with you, you just can look at them and politely say, thank you, but no thank you, and go get another piece of pie.
The professional answer would be this is a growth opportunity. You could use meditation. You could use deep breathing. But the reality of it is life is short. You don't get to pick your family. You do get to pick your friends, which is why for a lot of people who maybe don't have a family to spend the holidays with, I always love the idea that you can create your own. And for a lot of people, they can choose, they've created their own family that they spend their holidays with. Great people in their lives who can meet, who support each other. And, I've always liked that idea. You're given your family, you pick your friends. And that's always such a positive, warming idea. And so, this is a time of year to focus on the positives in your life, the good things in your life, and kind of make a mental list of that and be grateful. I think, the research tells us gratitude is directly linked to happiness. The more we focus on what we're grateful for and what we do have in our lives, the happier we are as people. And that will help us get through rough situations that we all have to tolerate and get through. So overall, this is a good kind of practice opportunity to focus on what you're grateful for in life.
Well, and if you don't exercise other times of the year, you might want to, you know, take up exercise, because then you can go excuse yourself to have a walk. Or
that's a great suggestion.
Yeah?
I love it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Get, you know, take a few deep breaths and get away from the chaos for a little while. And
it's a great idea.
Gather yourself. And yeah.
Good self-care.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And Michelle, you just touched on this, you know, that building those support systems, and if you don't have family available, you know, have some friends that are available. Any other suggestions as far as building support systems, some outlets for this time of year, or if you're feeling a little lonely over the holidays?
Well, I've always loved the idea of volunteering. I find that whenever you spend time, particularly if you spend time with people who have less than, whether it's people who have less financially, even less cognitively, people who have less than you, you walk away feeling so grateful, like they've given you something. You know, when you volunteer your time, you feel like they've really given you something rather than the other way around. And so volunteering can be such a rewarding opportunity for you emotionally, psychologically, because it really can boost your feelings of gratitude of, well, look how lucky I am. And so I really find that volunteering can really, it improves connections. You meet people, you can connect with other people. We know as human beings, it's really important to connect with other people. And so that does get you out, that makes you make social connections. And that's really important for health and happiness. People who live the longest have strong social connections. So volunteering is a great way to do that. And it also does promote those feelings of gratitude.
You know, churches are a good civic organization in which you can create connections. And they, I mean, almost always have some events or some series of events around this time of year. And that's probably a great avenue for someone who may not have family. Maybe they're new in the area. They've moved a pretty good distance away from their known kind of support system, such as military personnel. And they can take advantage of that. You know, pick a church, attend a church. Or, you know, if they are part of a larger organization, oftentimes there are some events in larger companies will hold different get-togethers or gatherings that maybe they can utilize to form some connections. But you don't have to be alone this time of year, which there in itself would lead someone to feel some depression, would trigger some, you know, emotional distress in that regard.
I just wanted to add, when you're talking about depression, I do think it's important to recognize that for some people, feelings of depression can just kind of occur naturally this time of year. There's something which we're all familiar with called seasonal affective disorder, and it has to do with a decrease in daylight time. And that for some people, this time of year actually brings on kind of the seasonal blues, feeling more depressed. And we definitely see it more in northern climates, but we now know this to be a real phenomenon. The short form is SAD, but it's seasonal affective disorder, and it's related to the lack of sunshine. And for those of us who like work in offices, you leave your house when it's dark, and by the time you come home, it's dark. The good news, if you know yourself, like Dr. Lebrano was saying, you know your body, know your rhythms, know what you're usually experience. And if every kind of winter time you do struggle with feelings of the blues or wanting to sleep more or lethargy, you might have that. And there's things you can do for that. One of the easiest things is to make sure you get out in the sunshine, whether it's going for a walk at lunchtime, getting some sunshine on your retinas is really important. But for people who really have the clinical condition, there are lights. The funny name for them is like lizard lights, but they're these
UV
intense lights.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very bright. And like about 20 minutes in the morning of that light therapy has shown to kind of, for many people, fix the condition. It gives them the light exposure that they need to improve their mood for the months where there's a decrease in sunshine. And so that's something to think of, because we do know that a lot of people physiologically just experience sadness And feelings of depression this time of year.
Yeah, and those lights used to be pretty expensive, but I've noticed lately that the cost has gone down tremendously, and they're now pretty affordable.
They are.
To get one of those light boxes.
Yeah.
I want to invite our listeners to phone in with your question or comment. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So what about managing our time during the holidays? How do we do it all and be everything everywhere at once, as it kind of seems like we have to be during the holidays? Any tips on how to make it all fit in?
Well, the easy answer is that you can't do it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as we kind of discussed earlier, you really need to establish a plan. A lot of families, you know, it's all about buying presents this time of year. Some people, it's more than just buying presents. It's, I've got to buy presents, and we've got to attend this event, then this event, then this event. And it can get overwhelming if you don't have a plan. Mm-hmm. And something that's realistic. I mean, be able to say no. If you can't go to this, then be honest and say, well, look, you know what? I'm not going to stress myself out and really overextend myself by agreeing to do all of these things. You know, we can't all put S's on our chest and get everything done and be everything to everyone. I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, this time of year is, you know, about spending time with your family, and it's about the experience. You know, Disney World's all about the experience, right?
Right.
The experience is what you will remember. It isn't that toy that you got at 7 years old, but they're going to remember the family getting the Christmas tree, and they're going to remember eating dinner, and they're going to remember playing with their cousins. Mm-hmm. They're not going to remember the toy that broke, you know, 3 days after they unwrapped it from the Christmas tree. So being able to manage your time and having a realistic goal of what you're going to do around Christmas time, I think is going to be important.
But I also like the idea of kind of, and I totally agree with that. And so when you're choosing to do things, kind of combining tasks. So instead of going crazy and hitting the malls and being in traffic and shopping, sticking to your budget, not trying to do everything. But I also love the ideas of homemade gifts that you can get the kids involved with. You know, I loved when I read, you know, what do you get the Queen of England, right? I mean, talk about somebody who has everything,
sure.
Right? Talk about pressure. And so Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge, supposedly, the rumor has it, made homemade chutney from a family recipe and gave that to the Queen of England for Christmas. And I thought, what a clever idea. So I love the idea of homemade gifts, whether it's, you know, making peppermint bark with your child or
pralines.
These types of things, pralines, anything that your child could get involved in and then your child can give out. I'm on this list, and me and the other moms, we were trying to figure out teacher gifts, and I think we have something like 8 teachers to get gifts for. It's just enormous. But so what we're doing was a group of moms are getting together and trying to pool resources so I don't have to buy 8 individual mm-hmm. gifts. Kind of that kind of thing. But so homemade gifts, kind of where your kids could get involved and they could have ownership and stake in making cookies and then giving them out. That's kind of a great opportunity, and they'll remember the experience, right?
Absolutely.
So again, this is what we know from the research, is that you have, if you have fun, you'll remember the experience, and then you're also killing 2 birds with 1 stone, because, you know, you always have those people that you want to give a little something to, but all those little somethings can really add up financially.
Yeah.
But it's really nice to be able to give something. So having your kids involved in making homemade items can be really create a really wonderful holiday memory and not break the budget. So I think
right.
It kind of kills 2 birds with 1 stone.
Well, I think deciding what's important, you know, is getting the good china out important, or could we forgo that and just eat off paper plates? You know?
Well, speaking along that, I'm going to do a public confession here. But I happen to know for a fact that you can order your entire Christmas meal from Whole Foods. And actually, a number of places have this. Walmart has this. Kroger has this. I'm not going to say how I know that fact. But, you know, there's because for some people, you can look into that. Or doing these things of all make the turkey, but, you know, you bring the salad and a bottle of wine, and, you know, Todd, you bring the dessert, and delegate. Delegate is a really important thing. I think people sometimes are reluctant to ask for help. The best advice I ever got when I had a baby was, don't be afraid to ask for help. And so delegating, when you're having people over for dinner, you know, tell everybody to bring one item. Before you know it, you've got a feast.
You know, asking for help from people, that's a big step too.
People love to help.
But some people are afraid to ask, which that's the problem. How do you kind of admit in these people, you know who you are, admit that you have to have help or you need to have help?
But I actually think it's a gift you give someone else, because when people say, what can I bring or how can I help? If people really care about you, they generally want to help. They want to do something. It's really, people want to help you. And if you say, could you do this? People are actually more than happy to do it. If I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't offer. I don't think it's an empty, hollow offer, especially if these are people that, you know, are your family and friends. So I think delegating is probably a really important piece of advice. No one needs to be cooking for 24 people on their own. That's something that should be divvied up.
And I love making pies. And so when someone says, hey, bring one of your pies, that's, you know, I'm happy for them to say that because that's a compliment. But I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy helping out. So, yeah, I think most of us, if somebody says, bring a covered dish, or, you know, rarely is somebody going to say no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We have Cheryl from El Dorado has a question. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, ma'am, and forgive the correction, but it's El Dorado.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay.
We have to do that a lot. Going back to your conversation about getting light and going out in the sunlight, and did I hear you say, and my question is kind of how to do that and how long to do that, and I know it's not an exact science, but did I understand you to say get light in your eyes, and do you need to expose some skin this time of year? It's a little cold. I mean, can you talk about when you say get some sunlight during the day, a little bit about how long, some parameters, and how to do it, and I'd appreciate it.
Sure. So people who have seasonal affective disorder, that is a recognized disorder, and it's due to the decrease in the amount of sunlight this time of year. We're lucky in that we still get pretty sunny days most of the time in the South, which means that for a lot of people, they can experience a mood boost if they can get outside during peak sun time, which would typically be around lunchtime. If they can get out and go for a walk, 20, 30-minute walk, that could be a significant mood booster. You don't really need to expose your skin. Some people could have their vitamin D levels checked, make sure your vitamin D level is adequate. A lot of women have below normal vitamin D levels, so you want to check on that. But if your vitamin D level is normal, you don't need to expose your skin. Just, you know, being outside in the sun, and also combined with the walk, the physical activity of being out in fresh air and walking, it's kind of a win-win situation. Both those variables will improve your mood. For people who have true seasonal affective disorder, that's often not sufficient, and they benefit from the light therapy, which is specific waves of light. I don't know which ones, but if you look up light boxes for seasonal affective disorder, Dr. Visconti's right, they're very reasonable. You can get them for $50 or less on Amazon, and it's a very intense blue-ray kind of light, and they need about 10 to 20 minutes with that light exposure. They typically get it in the morning. It has to do with also increasing, waking the brain up, kind of decreasing the melatonin that's in the brain. So your kind of brain knows it's time to wake up. And that's shown to be really effective.
Cheryl, did you have any other questions? Oh, no, I think Cheryl was gone.
Well, hopefully I answered it.
So during the holidays, there's usually a lot of alcohol at parties and things like that. Any suggestions as far as making sure that we keep our drinking under control, how to handle other people who might be drinking a little bit too much, and how alcohol can affect our moods.
Sure. So alcohol is a known depressant, meaning it brings you down. The alcohol is disinhibits you, which means when you're around that obnoxious uncle, you're liable to let him know what you think of him. So alcohol is problematic. It can be problematic in excess. You know, when we talk about earlier, we talk about healthy habits. You want to maintain your healthy habits. You want to eat on a regular schedule. You obviously want to make sure that you eat in conjunction anytime you're consuming alcohol. And you want to consume alcohol in reasonable amounts and kind of stick to it. When Dr. Lobrano's talking about always, you know your plan, set out your plan, you should know what your plan is. Are you a, I'm going to have one drink person, I'm going to have two drinks person, and you stick to that and you keep track of that. And it's important to stick to that. Alcohol, the same way you don't want financial regret, you don't want the alcohol regret. It's just basically it's hangovers are physically very hard on your body, but also it, those family dynamics that we talk about, they can get pretty ugly pretty quickly if excess alcohol is involved.
And then you have some remorse from the next day mm-hmm. about maybe saying something that you wouldn't normally have said, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, the food is full of carbohydrates that make you sleepy and tired and lethargic, and those can certainly add to your mood of, you know, maybe add to some depression, mm-hmm. at, you know, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just, I guess it'd be an additive effect to those mood of sadness and withdrawal because mm-hmm. you just want to sleep, you want to sit on the couch and not do a whole lot or engage in much activity.
Yeah, and it's tempting during the holidays because initially when you drink alcohol, it you know, can kind of help to chill you out a little bit or make you a little more sociable. But sometimes if we imbibe a little too much, that can lead to a whole other group of problems that...
Mm-hmm. And it's a very common coping mechanism for stress as well. Mm-hmm. And it just has a whole host of negative effects if relied upon, of course, too heavily.
Yeah, and it's just not a very good coping mechanism, unfortunately, yeah. is what we know. But you're right. It's what a lot of people reach for. It's just not very effective when we're, you know, dialing back earlier to the conversation about weight gain in the holidays. One of the ways you can gain that 5 to 10 pounds so quickly is excess alcohol mm-hmm. consumption. It's high caloric in intake, and so that presents a problem, all of that.
Mm-hmm. So what about children? I know we talked a little bit about our expectations and how to keep our expectations realistic. What about children, especially if they're counting presents and things like that? What do we do? How do we handle that?
Well, we take all their presents away and make them give them to someone else, right?
Scrooge.
No, we kind of communicate the same expectations we have of ourselves and others to them. Children... And Dr. Yetman knows this as well as I do, learn primarily through modeling. And, you know, we set that example for them. They see that from us primarily, you know, from birth until the time they generally go to daycare or school where they find other examples to follow. But they still learn from us. They learn from us. They learn from their grandparents. They learn from their significant others. And we teach them what kind of expectations to have. And if we communicate to them that the possession of things and the receipt of things is what's important about this, then that's kind of where they're getting that idea.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, by nature, children are what we call egocentric, which means they're all about themselves. So it's in their nature to count presents and say, so-and-so got, you know, this better gift or be jealous. They're not... giving generous creatures by nature. That has to be taught. That's learned behavior. And so the season of the holidays and Christmas is a wonderful opportunity to teach that in your children. And it starts when they're young, and it starts with traditions, and it can start with all sorts of things like, you know, going through before the holiday time and deciding we're going to donate all the old toys that we're not really using to a charity or to other children, or, you know, call it creating a Santa's workshop. What we're going to go through, and we're going to find all our toys that we no longer play with, and so we can give them away to other children who would maybe still enjoy these toys. You talked about donating your time. You can sponsor kids. CASA has, you can sponsor a child, which is juvenile justice. You can sponsor a child and actually, you know, you can pick out your child. And they have this on the Christmas trees as well, where you can pick out a child who might be the same age and gender as your child, and then you read their wish list. And so the child can kind of identify, wow, there's this child just like me, but they might not be getting any Christmas gifts, so we can pool our money and get them a Christmas gift. You can also decide as a family if you want to have a certain, you know, let the family vote on what charity they might want. Children often like charities with animals, but you know what charity we might want to give, and maybe one of our family Christmas gifts is we're going to make a donation to a charity. I think however your family wants to do it, however your family wants to set up traditions, volunteering your time as a family, but the holiday time is an opportunity to start these traditions of giving to others, and that's how you will, you know, instill that in your children year after year, and kind of fight that instinctive nature that they have to think about themselves and learn how to think about other people.
I want to invite our listeners to call in with their question or comment. Our number is 1-800-552-8502. And again, this evening we are talking about coping not only for the holidays, but also some tips that you can use during other times of the year. So during the holidays, we're traveling a lot, and that can bring on its own kind of stressors. Any tips for having to go from this house to that house and traveling, especially with children? Any suggestions for that?
Well, this time of year, patience, 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 right? With the traffic, the increase in traffic, and a lot of times you're going to have people on the road right now that don't normally drive a whole lot. You know, some of the elder people that we have around, they're going to be on the roads too. And understanding that just because someone cuts you off in traffic or wouldn't let you change lanes, there may be some other reason other than they're just trying to stop you mm-hmm. from doing what you want to do. So, you know, just, I guess, taking the idea, catching those kind of what I would refer to as irrational thoughts that the world is against you all the time when you're driving behind the wheel of the car, and accepting the fact that maybe there's another explanation for their behavior, and taking a moment and just having patience and forgiving someone for what may amount to a mistake. And then, you know, of course, always have patience with that uncle that you don't really want to see this time of year or just once a year. It's going to take, you know, take patience. It's going to take some understanding, and it's going to take some, you know, we would call it thought stopping or mm-hmm. some other kind of reframing of the negative thoughts that are going to come through about those individuals.
Mm-hmm. And choose your schedule wisely. I mean, you don't want to be out the Saturday before Christmas if you don't have to be, because everybody knows it's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be crazy. You don't want to drag your children out with you on that Saturday before
Christmas. That's another stressor.
So, you know, you can definitely do things to de-stress your life and choose accordingly and pack the car accordingly with distractions. And so travel at the time, you know, where it's going to be optimal, and, you know, planning. It goes back to one of the things we opened with, which is planning. And of course, the best laid plans go awry, and that's part of life. And so don't take it personally is what I hear you saying. But, you know, for as much as possible, kind of, you know, develop your plan wisely, and so that you don't get caught up in the madness of it all.
We have a question or comment from Kenny in Shreveport. Go right ahead.
Good evening. I have three points that I'd like to be succinct with. I've enjoyed the program, and I have just experienced the loss of my younger brother, and so I'm the last one left in my immediate family, and I'm realizing that I'm going to have this anniversary now at this time of year. That's kind of rough. However, I've noticed that you've been talking about exercise, and I have a regimen where I ride my bike during the daylight hours and I go to the gym at night, and I'm keeping that going, which I think is a help.
Yes.
The second, the last point that I wanted to make is that I'm kind of a news junkie, and I am realizing that that's not often a good topic of conversation. This presidential election that we've had has been very contentious, and it still is. And I'm now tired of that subject. I respect everyone's opinions, but I don't want to hear the other side's opinion. I'm not interested in giving my opinion on that anymore. I'm just trying to get along with everybody and move on. Does that sound pretty good?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that's great that you're keeping up with the exercise and also the political conversations. People do have very strong opinions and feelings, and that can often lead to places that just aren't very good.
Well, first, I just want to say I'm very sorry for your loss, and I can definitely appreciate how hard this time of year is. And so thank you for sharing that. And it sounds like you're doing a really good job of self-care. And that's exactly what we were talking about, and really good for you. You should be commended for being able to take care of yourself, despite the fact that I'm sure it's very hard. I'm sure it's very hard to keep going during this hard time of year, but know that that's the best thing for you. So I'm very impressed that you're able to stick with that, because it really is the best thing for you, and it'll get you through this hard time. So I'm very impressed with that. And then to your latter point, all I can say is, you know, I feel your pain. I share your pain. I mean, just a small example, but I love my workplace. I call it my work family, because they really do feel like a work family. We like really help each other out, would pick up each other's kids. But we can't talk politics because we have very differing views. And I love these people I work with. They're like family to me, but that is a topic we cannot discuss, because I'm like, you know, we just can't go there.
Yeah.
So we know we just don't, because it's just not a good topic to talk about. So, but what's really nice is we can just put it in a box and not talk about it. And I know that these are the still great people they were before this whole prison. So that doesn't change. And my positive feelings for them are still the same. And they feel like my work family, just like they always did. And I want that to stay the same, which is also why we put it in a box and we don't talk about it. Well, so that's an important skill to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Don't fight those unwinnable fights. Don't even start them, and know that they're going to lead to that. If that's the case, if politics are a hot button topic for people, don't start it. This isn't a time to engage in arguments and fighting and things of that nature. And, you know, there are a number of people out there who have lost loved ones around this time, and I really regret that. It may be an idea at some point that you can turn this time of loss into a time of celebration and focus more on the memories, the cherished memories that you've established, instead of the fact that this is a loss around this time. But, you know, again, in grief, time is going to be your friend. Time is a healing element as well.
Yeah, when we have a loved one that dies, there's always going to be a little hole in our heart, you know, mm-hmm. that's going to be there because of the loss. But, you know, as we kind of go day by day, things will get better. And like you said, Todd, you know, maybe, you know, making some new traditions and trying to look back at the happy memories and not necessarily the losses, which can be difficult.
I always think of the funerals in New Orleans where it's almost like it's a happy occasion where they're, in their perspective, they are celebrating the individual's life rather than mourning their loss.
So, especially after the holidays, there can be a little bit of a letdown, maybe what some people might characterize as post-holiday depression.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we deal with that? Because we are kind of amped up during the holidays. There's a lot going on. It's a lot of fun if we allow it to be. And then kind of things go back to normal. and which is great in some ways, mm-hmm. but also it can be a little boring after all that excitement. So how do we handle those post-holiday blues?
Well, this is starting to sound like a common theme, right? So one is, you know, we stick to the healthy habits of, you know, your routine and your exercise. You know, not everything has to be done before the 25th, right? So visiting with friends and lunch dates and stuff like that doesn't all have to happen before the 25th. So spacing that out. I also like the idea that, you know, Christmas doesn't have to be on the 25th. For a lot of people who've families out of town or, you know, work night shifts or this or that, you know, it's kind of like your birthday when you're an adult. You can celebrate it whenever you need to. So if you have to kind of move that date for families that people can't make it in there or, you know, you can celebrate with special people kind of whenever. So not everything has to be piled up before the 25th.
And sometimes it's more than one day.
Right.
So you can kind of stretch that holiday out, but mm-hmm. relax, take your time.
Mm-hmm. And then also take a breath after the holidays. You probably need it. So doing some, you know, enjoyable, relaxing stuff is also important and good for you as well. And hopefully if you've planned, like at the beginning, and haven't gone over budget and haven't lost all your healthy habits and haven't gone too far off the rail, then there won't be as much post-holiday blues and letdown and feelings of regret and all of that.
So if you do start feeling down during the holidays or any other time, how do we know when it's time to seek professional help and who do we go see?
Well, you actually may not notice if it becomes untenable and someone else may bring it to your attention. Try to think about and take in perspective what they tell you. And there's, you know, I guess the phone book's a good place to go. If you feel like you need to speak with a professional, you can turn to a friend. You can turn to a pastor at your church. You know, and if you're at work, there's the employee assistance program that you can utilize to your advantage. There's a number of resources out there. It's important to remember that you're not in this alone.
Just to add to that, I would really say that what we kind of consider as a big red flag is changes in your normal habits. So if you're sleeping too much than you normally sleep, or you're not sleeping, you can't sleep the way you normally sleep, if you're more irritable than you regularly are, just changes in your normal baseline self are typically a red flag. And then for most people on the back of their insurance card, if they call that 1-800 number, they'll get a list of who their insurance covers as counselors or psychologists. And that's a good place to start based on who your insurance will allow you to go see.
I want to thank you both for coming in this evening. Sorry, my music came in a little bit too early. I want to thank you both for coming in this evening, Dr. Michelle Yetman and Dr. Todd Lebrano. We really appreciate your tips and suggestions for the holidays and for every other day of the year. Health Matters is a program for informational purposes only. For all health questions, you should consult a physician or health professional. The views and opinions expressed on Health Matters may not necessarily reflect those of Red River Radio, LSUS, or staff. This show is available for download from redriverradio.org. Health Matters is a production of Red River Radio. The producer is Renee Moran. Production assistance provided this evening by Tim Snell and Sheila Lawrence. Support for this program comes from the Knoll Foundation and also from the Community Foundation of North Louisiana. Tune in each Thursday for Health Matters. I'm Dr. Shelley Visconti. Thank you for joining us this evening.